Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, and I welcome you to our exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease and heart failure and organ donation and everything related to that in today's ever-changing world. I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest today an inspiring leader, author, and living organ donor in our medical and global communities, Brenda E. Cortez. Brenda is as close to a true superhero as I've ever had the privilege of knowing. Brenda is a living kidney donor and a prolific children's book author who has a passion for helping others. Brenda is now a strong advocate for living donation awareness. Because of this advocacy and her passion for helping others, Brenda came up with the slogan HOWL, Help Others with Love. Brenda's series of children's books are both astounding and inspirational. And Brenda's newest book, which is not a children's book, titled Because of Organ Donation, brings together the biographical stories of 25 inspiring members of our global health community, including donor families, recipients of donated organs, and living donors. This book is so inspiring, and Brenda, I welcome you to The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter.
Thank you, Gary. Wow, and thank you for that introduction.
That's easy. let me turn the clock back to 16 years ago. What compelled you then to enter into this world of organ donation?
I was at my children's school, and my kids were in second grade and fifth grade. And I was having a conversation with another mom, asking her to help with a fundraiser that was going to be monthly. And she said she could only help with the first one because she was going to be needing to start dialysis and she needed a kidney. And I said, oh, what do you need? Like, what do you need to be a living kidney donor? I never even knew that it existed at that point. And she said, well, first was the blood type, and she needed somebody with O blood type. And so that's me. What do I need to do?
So what steps did you take to become a living kidney donor at that time?
Blood work was the first step. I laugh because they didn't make it easy for me back then. I'm like, why can't I just go to the transplant center? You know, I live like right near it. Why can't I just go there and give my blood? Nope, just go wherever you normally get your blood. And when I went there, they were like, what? What are we supposed to do? Like, put it in the, you know, these tubes and then mail it off? So I ended up going to the blood center where I would donate blood, and then they were able to help me. But yeah, literally it was fill the whatever 20 vials, maybe wasn't quite that many, but it was a lot, and FedEx it off to the transplant center.
It makes me think, like, who figured all this out? How did people figure out, these wonderful people in the past, in the history of solving these problems, how they figured out how this could work? It is a strange world that we enter into. Do you know how many people are saved each year by organ donation?
I think we so often focus on how many are waiting. And I know I've seen the statistics.
I was going to say, I'm remembering 35,000 at least, you know. So,
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully with all the technology, that number will grow. What are some of the challenges that you perceived to be present in the area of organ donation?
Do you mean like currently?
Why are we having so many problems getting enough organ?
Probably there isn't enough education. I know it's changing. And I know since I've started advocating and raising awareness, the number has decreased of people that are waiting. But, you know, the kidney is the most needed organ. And that's probably not going to change, I would imagine, for a long time, just because of, I think, our lifestyle plays a big part of it. I mean, there's definitely medical factors that somebody might not have control over, but then there's other instances with, you know, so many people are getting type 2 diabetes due to, and just the way we eat here plays a huge role in that. Education is big.
Yeah. And what we put on our bodies does dictate for many of us what's going to happen to us as far as our health is concerned. That's something that we have to, at one point, have to start thinking about that. And certainly as we get a little older, we have to be more aware of that. Your first book, My Mom Is Having Surgery, what inspired you to write that?
So I donated my kidney, so 16 years ago, to that mom that I had that conversation with, you know, and I just wanted to help somebody in the way that I hoped somebody would help me. But what actually inspired me then, you know, there wasn't many resources, there wasn't mentors, like just for me as a living donor. That's changed, thankfully, but there wasn't any resources like for my children at that time. So my daughter was in fifth grade. And we fast forward to she's a senior in high school, and she writes her essay to get into college. And she wrote it about the kidney donation. And you know, she said it was scary for her as a child, but I inspired her to want to be a better person and help others and for her to do something in the medical field. So once I read that, you know, when I look back and like, okay, you know, I know it was a little scary for everybody, but maybe I didn't realize how scary it was for them. And I was like, God, is there anything out there to help kids, you know, at that point, which was like 7 years later, and I didn't really see anything. So I'm like, I need to write something to help kids understand this. And so that's how that first book came about.
It's funny that the essay for college, you know, it hits home with me, especially because one of my avocations, I thought about it as a job when I retired from being a dentist. But what I do is I edit students' essays, and I also train them for their interviews for both medical school and also for their residencies. But also do some college essay editing. And those are so interesting to try and bring out the ability for young people to express themselves. And often it ends with, you know, a great message that they do want to help others. It's usually about that. And gratitude for the people that gave them the opportunity to get to this point where they can go to college or medical school in the first place. So it's, yeah, I love doing that when I can. And I do it anytime anybody asks. It takes a lot of time, but it's important for me to help them get those thoughts on paper. So tell us about the incredible idea of Howl the Owl. You know, that was the birth of so many of your books. I couldn't believe how many books are on Amazon related to that. Tell us about that a little bit.
So when the My Mom is Having Surgery book came out, people were like, oh, that would be a great book for children's hospitals. And then I disagreed with them. Like, actually, it's not. It's meant for, you know, the kid's not in the hospital. It's their parent, you know, or it could be somebody else. So I'm like, I guess I need to write one for the children if they're in the hospital themselves. I wanted to use a cute little animal character for them to relate to, because kids especially, you know, who doesn't love a cute little animal? But, you know, I was like, had it in my head, I want an animal. And then at some point, just that saying popped into my head, help others with love. And I'm like, that's an acronym for Howl. It rhymes with owl. I love owls. So I was just like, Howl the Owl, that'll be my character in the books, and he can spread his message that way too. So,
and owls are known as the smartest bird, so it's no coincidence again that you would like owls.
Thanks. So, the very first Howl book, I was like, well, you know, what kind of surgery, like what organ is he gonna have transplanted? Because I was sticking with, you know, the organ donation theme. So I chose a heart, a couple different reasons. I didn't know anyone personally at that time that had a heart transplant, but my son's friend, his cousin, so the mom had told me a lot about it. And I was like, oh, all right, I think I'm going to do a heart. And it sounded nice too for a title. Howl gets a heart.
Exactly.
So did a little bit of research, modeled like some of the illustrations, you know, after a real hospital room. And he has a backpack on. And do you know what's in his backpack? His LVAD is in his backpack pump.
And the backpack is a metaphor for a lot of things too, right? Those things that we carry with us. It doesn't necessarily have to be materialistic for us to have a backpack.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, all those things are so symbolic. And the creativity that you have in writing these books is sensational.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. What is your association with Bill Ryan? I don't know him well, but I clearly know that he's worthy of inspiration. And the Transplant Life Foundation, how has that played a role in your life?
Bill is basically in charge of the Transplant Games of America, and the transplant, his foundation, they oversee everything. And I first got involved in 2016. Amazingly, I did not know anything about these transplant games. I didn't even know that they existed. And I know a lot of people still don't. And I'm sad because in 2010, right in my home state, Wisconsin, in Madison, they had transplant games, and I knew nothing about it. So once I finally heard about it, they were in Cleveland. So they take place every 2 years. And it's like, it's an Olympic style event.
Yeah.
I think mostly it started for transplant recipients to showcase, you know, what they can do, you know, with their new organ, their new life. And then it's evolved, and now living donors can participate in some things, you know, donor families. So Bill Ryan is a donor family. His daughter passed in a car accident, and she became an organ donor and saved people's lives. And so that's why Bill does what he does. But just for me going, and I didn't participate, I just went to check it out, and I was blown away. Just all the people that you're there with, you know, everyone's there pretty much for the same reason. And it was just so inspiring, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And at that point, I only had the first book that my mom is having surgery. I think that the How I'll Get to Heart one was coming out shortly after that. I'm like, I want to be a part of it. And then at the next games in 2018 in Salt Lake City, they offered for me to have a booth in the TGA Village, they call it. So it's like the expo hall. I was honored. I was blown away. But at that point, then I had a few different books, a few of the Howell books as well. And he's a plush guy.
I just want to say, because so many thoughts come to mind with regard to the transplant games. And the first of which is that, as you said, people get a chance to come together there. I think the most important thing about what we can control is that we can all help each other. I've been thinking a lot about the notion that people say to themselves sometimes if they need a heart transplant or are somehow surprised by a medical condition that is revealed, and they say, what did I do to deserve this, or why me? And really the truth is that there is no answer to that. But what there is an answer to is what we can do about it. And coming together and helping each other when those things happen is really a big part of that. So I think that that's why, you know, the transplant games and Bill Ryan is so special. At least that's how I see it, because we don't control the things. We're looking to blame ourselves or looking for a reason, but there's no reason that things happen. But there is a way to actually justify it by what we do about it. What can I do now that something has happened to me? And getting together as a group and helping each other is part of that. So I just wanted to say that about the Transplant Life Foundation. And as soon as I get my heart, I will enter that. I want to win that golf tournament.
That's right. Yep. They have golf. There's so many different events.
Yeah. You know, there's a player on the PGA Tour that has had two heart transplants.
Really?
Yeah. He was just in the last tournament. And his name is escaping me for the moment, but I'll put it in the notes.
Okay.
But yeah, I know he's had two heart transplants, and he was playing out there, and he made the cut and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's possible. Anything is possible. Could you describe your latest book, Because of Organ Donation, for the benefit of our listeners? I have it right here with me. This is a fascinating book. And I'm fortunate to have met recently many of the people that you talk about in this book. Please describe the motivation for that. What's the why in that book?
Sure. So the concept is interesting. And so I was part of another book. I was invited to write a chapter in a book called Manifesting Your Dreams. I said to the woman, I'm like, well, not that this really was my dream. I'm like, it kind of just happened that donating my kidney led to all of this. And she's like, no, that's perfect. That's great. And so I wrote how my purpose has become a passion. And I thought, you know, though, this concept, I like it, where everyone can share their own, you know, different journey and story. And I thought that would be great for organ donation. And I wanted to include just a lot of different stories. You know, there's definitely a lot of books out there, but I wanted to have, you know, living donors, recipients, and donor families, you know, and it's not just kidney, it's all different organs. So I thought, well,
Yeah.
We have all these amazing stories, you know, together in a collection in one book. So I'm connected to a lot of people on social media, and, you know, some I've met in person, and a lot of them I haven't even met in person yet, that I invited to be a part of the book. So I said, you know, if you want to write a chapter in my book, that would be amazing. And I did, you know, all of the first couple rounds of editing. So when you were talking about helping the students with their essays and how it was a lot of work, I could relate because it was, yeah, you know, basically 24 of them that I was going through and, you know, helping them. And, but it was,
yeah, and these wonderful things, I was going to say that these wonderful things in these books you write, everybody should be reminded, it doesn't happen by accident. It takes hard work and time and dedication. So, you know, like anything else, if you want to be good at something, you got to put in the time, which obviously, Brenda, you do for these books.
Thank you.
I know they're all your children, as they say, I think, in this book, but is there a particular person's story or message that really resonates, you know, with you?
They all do. They really all do.
Yeah, no, it's a tough question. That was a tough question. I didn't mean to ask you a tough one, but that was a tough one.
But let's just think about the donor families. We have Joey Gase, and he's a NASCAR driver, and he uses his platform, mm-hmm. you know, to honor his mom who passed from a brain aneurysm, and she saved other lives. You know, and then we have Dawn, and her daughter passed, you know, she was 19 in a snowmobile accident. And then there's Shannon, and it was her baby who passed. I mean, those are just, because when you're in that situation and you're grieving and you're not thinking of other people really at that time because you're hurting so bad, you know, so just all of those stories are amazing. The living donors, there's Brandy, and she's our double donor, and she donated a kidney first to a stranger and then part of her liver to a stranger who was a baby. And I mean, so that's amazing. There's
The selflessness. I was going to say the selflessness of Brandy's, you know, donation. It's just unspeakable how wonderful that is. It's not an easy thing for people to think that they would give up part of their body for someone else. It's amazing. Living donorship is something.
Yeah. And then the recipients and everything that they've been through and, you know, their fight. I'm sure you can relate to that. Just so many, like, especially like kidney, well, any of them, you never know, you know, you could wake up tomorrow and you have these issues. One that kind of like hit when I was reading it, and it's Maria, she goes by Terry. She ended up needing a lung transplant, and she was just, you know, it started with her being diagnosed with adult asthma. And that one, like, I have this little fear because I was diagnosed with adult asthma like 2 years ago. So I'm like, you know, then it makes me worry.
No question about it. Yeah. And as a person who is waiting for a heart right now, I'm waiting for a heart. The call could come tonight. There's no predicting that when it will happen. But I also tell, I often tell people that my donor isn't finished using their heart yet. And that's really how I think about it, you know, because I know it'll come. And I know there'll be a time for that, but it'll come when it's supposed to come.
I like
and
that.
So,
it's a good way.
Yeah, you know, as a recipient, we have hope, and I think we have a message as recipients, and that is, you know, gratitude and the fact that, you know, we send a message through the things that we go through that, you know, we can adapt to change and we can get through tough times. So there are certainly lessons that recipients can give to the world too, in addition to, of course, the donors that are so selfless in their donations. So this is an unpaid commercial. Where can listeners find your books?
So our website, which is the title of the book, so becauseoforgandonation.com. It is on Amazon as well. We did hit number one, so we can say that our book is number one.
There you go.
It was on bestseller.
Yeah, good.
So we're excited for that. Yeah. And if anybody knows any of the chapter authors, then definitely reach out to them and you can get a copy from them. I will add, though, the ones that are ordered from the website, I do sign those and I send those out personally. And then we support Donate Life America. I have supported them from day one. I'm kind of proud I was their first supporting author. And so from all of my books and my plush Howl, they receive partial proceeds.
Yeah, well, how nice that is. And so, you know, a number of the people who are in your book are actually members of my podcast group, the Heart Guy podcast group on Facebook. And I thank you for that, because I think that you probably introduced me to them, but I'm so inspired. But if people want to get in touch with them, that's one way to get in touch with them, because they're in the group.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to hear more about the messages that Brenda sends and all of my other wonderful, inspiring guests send, just join the podcast group. So the Heart Guy podcast group on Facebook. But having said that, what can our listeners do to help in the mission of organ donation? How may they volunteer or contribute?
Oh, there's many things. Well, I guess the first important one would be, are you registered as a donor? And if you're not, then consider, you know, the odds of you actually becoming a donor are pretty slim. So that's why we need so many people to be registered, because what is it? Maybe only like 5% end up actually being an organ donor. You know, it all depends on how you pass away. You can donate, you know, tissue and cornea a lot, I guess I'll say, easier than donating an organ. But how they can help too is talk about it. I know that's a big thing too, is even just start by talking to your family, you know, let people know your wishes, spread awareness. If you get a copy of the book because of organ donation, post about it, share about it.
Yeah. The social media gives us a great opportunity to share our messages to millions of people potentially. So,
right.
Yeah.
And just, you know, if you want to get involved, there's so many things, you know, locally that you can look into. You know, so we talked about Donate Life America. Most states have their own like chapter, if you want to call it, of Donate Life. And then there's the National Kidney Foundation, and most states also have their own chapter. American Heart Association. Oh my gosh, there's just so many.
Yeah, we can, so, and we could put groups. We could put some of the names of these in the podcast notes, so they'll be available to people.
Sure. Trio.
Yeah, so we'll do that. Trio, of course. Yeah, we've spoken so much.
Journey.
Yeah.
Is now
so many
helping people.
Yeah, so many people are trying to help now. And so, Brenda, you've done so much already. Where do you go from here? What does the future look like for Brenda?
Yeah. So my future, I know I have so much in my head.
Yeah, it's great.
It spins sometimes, and I wish I.
And we're thankful for that, because your ideas are so inspiring. Yeah, your book is great. I love your book.
Oh, thanks.
I'm reading it all the time now. I'm going to finish it soon.
Okay. Well, and there's been just amazing feedback, and I'm so honored and blessed. And people, especially a lot of the authors from day one, they're like, you're going to need to do more books. Like, it needs to be a series. So
the pressure's on. The pressure's on.
Yeah. No, I'm working on that. I'm gathering a list of people, and now people are reaching out to me on the Because of Organ Donation Facebook page. I do Facebook Lives, and it started with me just doing a few and bringing on a few of the chapter authors at a time, so people could meet them, you know, in person, if you want to call it that, and just hear a little bit about their story, you know, and what they can expect in their chapter. And it was received really, really well. I decided I'm going to keep doing this with just, there's so many amazing stories, as we talked about, of, you know, the donor families, the donors, the recipients. So,
and what they've been through, and then what they do with that, you know, really to give back. And Brenda's motto is be an organ donor and help others with love. Howl, we can't forget that. Brenda, it's been an enormous honor to have you as a guest on The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter. On behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much for all that you've done for our community, both locally and for the global community, with your incredible dedication to your work in organ donation, and for your wonderful books, which I recommend everyone find on Amazon and other bookseller websites. And Brenda, thank you for sharing this time with us. I hope we can do this again soon. There's a lot more to cover.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's our pleasure for sure. And that is our podcast for today. Please join me next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drheart2heart.net. That's D-R-H-E-A-R-T, the numeral 2, H-E-A-R-T.net. for upcoming podcasts, or if you'd like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you just have to look it up in the search bar. The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter. And until next time, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.